This is Steve Disbrow.
He plays Bottom in the play. Bottom is the victim of a trick played on him by the mischievous fairy Puck, who has changed him into an ass. But at this point in the play, he's more upset by the discovery of his true love's mantle stained with blood.
Sweet moon, I thank thee for thy sunny beams. I thank thee, moon, for shining now so bright. For by thy gracious golden glittering gleams, I trust to take of truest Thisbe sight. But stay, O spite! But mark, poor knight, what dreadful dole is here? Eyes, do you see? How can it be? O dainty duck! Oh dear! Thy mantle good, what, stained with blood? Approach, ye furies fell! O fates, come, come, cut thread and thrum, quail, crush, conclude and quell!
What happens in the play is that Steve's character, Bottom, he's the one that gets translated into the character that has the ass's head. And they don't think they can do the play within the play because, you know, he's now an ass. But then he gets untranslated. And so they actually do the play within the play. And so, which is really, in my opinion, the funniest part of the play is that little segment right there.
This is a play within a play.
Yeah, it's the play within a play. And Bottom is playing a character called Pyramus. And he has found his true love, Thisbe. He has found her mantle, her scarf, on the ground and soaked with blood. And it's been placed there by a very cowardly lion who's played by Ward Fleissner and does an excellent job. So the mantle is on the ground. It's really, what did you say, Janice? This is like a Shakespeare's dig at the...
Yes.
Theater of the day?
The theater that happened before his time.
Yeah.
You know, the very overly dramatic, melodramatic, over-the-top style is being parodied in the play within the play.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what makes it, you know, for his own audience, they would have found it hilarious, but it's still hilarious anyway,
yeah,
just because it's so silly.
There's a lot of scenery chewing going on, and we have no scenery, so we have to chew on each other.
That's right. Imaginary scenery chewing.
The play is called A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Technically, the play is called A Midsummer Night's Dream. However,
because it's cold,
because it is winter, we have retitled it to A Midwinter's Night's Dream.
Which does beg the question.
Shakespeare can sue us if he really wants.
That's right. He can sue us.
Have his lawyer.
Because you could have done Twelfth Night, right?
We could have done Twelfth Night, and we have done Twelfth Night, and Twelfth Night was really fun.
Yeah.
But we've never done this play full on. And we, you know, obviously the reading we're still not going to. We're thinking about doing the full-on version of it, though. But frankly, it doesn't really matter. I mean, technically, as far as we understand it, the play was written for a wedding that took place during the summer. And that is why they had the title. But it's not specific that it has to be taking place during the summer. Mm-hmm. It never says it's summertime. You know, it could really be any time of the year, although whether they would be fleeing through the woods if it was sub-zero, we're not sure.
At this point, Bottom has been seen by the fairy Puck. Is that right? Puck is Robin? I forget exactly.
Robin Goodfellow or Puck.
And Robin is a mischievous sort, and she or he has decided to curse him with an ass's head. So when he wakes up, he has an ass's head and all the nasal problems that go along with that.
I see their knavery. This is to make an ass of me, to fright me, if they could. But I will not stir from this place. Do what they can. I will walk up and down here, and I will sing, and they shall hear. I am not afraid. The ozel cock so black of hue, with orange tawny bill. The throstle with his note so true. The wren with little quill.
What angel wakes me from my flowery bed?
The finch, the sparrow, and the lark. The plain song cuckoo gray, whose note full many a man doth mark, and dares not answer, nay.
I pray thee, gentle mortal, sing again. Mine ear is much enamored of thy note, so is mine eye enthralled to thy shape. And thy fair virtue's force perforce doth move me on the first view to say, to swear, I love thee.
Methinks, mistress, you should have little reason for that. And yet, to say the truth, reason and love keep little company together nowadays. The more the pity that some honest neighbors will not make them friends. Nay, I can gleek upon occasion.
Thou art as wise as thou art beautiful.
Not so neither, but if I had wit enough to get out of this wood, I have enough to serve mine own turn.
Out of this wood do not desire to go. Thou shalt remain here whether thou wilt or no. I am a spirit of no common rate. The summer still doth tend upon my state, and I do love thee. Therefore go with me. I'll give thee fairies to attend on thee, and they shall fetch thee jewels from the deep, and sing while thou on pressed flowers dost sleep, and I will purge thy mortal grossness so that thou shalt like an airy spirit go.
This performance of Shakespeare's play, A Midsummer Night's Dream, or as they're calling it, A Midwinter Night's Dream, featuring our guests Steve Disbrow and Janice Hash, who is the director for the performance, but because the actress couldn't make it, she is playing the part of Puck for us during these readings. The play is being staged for the most part as we're hearing it, as a reading. The actors aren't in costume, there aren't any sets.
It's like a radio play that you get to come and watch.
And have you done this before?
We've done readings before, but we're doing this one a little bit differently because, and who knows, this is one of my harebrained schemes, so we'll see whether this works out or not. But what we're doing is we're actually pulling two scenes out and staging those without book, which I personally have never seen, although there's nothing new under the sun, so somebody has done this before, no doubt. But the rest of it will be on book in kind of more traditional reading style. But then two of the scenes, the lover's fight scene and the play within the play, they'll come out and they will do them without book. They won't have full costume, and we have no sound and no lights. So it's a little bit in between. It's in between a reading and a fully staged show. You don't have all the, you know, wonderful accoutrement that you do when you're doing the full-fledged production, but it does put the emphasis then back on the words.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, that's kind of fun because sometimes the words can get lost in all the other stuff that goes on, especially in a comedy like Midsummer, where there's constant action, there's constant, you know, people flying around the stage all the time. And so sometimes they feel like they understand the play a little bit better after they've heard the reading. One of the things that we say, always say, and it really is so important in Shakespeare, is if the actor does not understand what they're saying, the audience is not going to have a clue, particularly when you've got sections where Shakespeare layers meaning on top of meaning, even in a play like Midsummer, which is not one of your trickier plays to understand. I'm thinking of the passage between Hermia and Lysander, where they have this whole thing at the beginning of the play, where it's back and forth between the two of them talking about, you know, the classic line is, the course of true love never did run smooth. And then they enumerate why it doesn't. And if those two actors don't understand exactly what they're saying in those lines, the audience might just as well zone out during that entire passage. And that way, as Steve says, even if the audience doesn't get one word per se, like in graft, we don't use that word anymore. But if they get the context of what it means, well, they'll understand anyway.
How now, my love? Why is your cheek so pale? How chance the roses where do fade so fast?
Belike for want of rain, which I could well beteem them from the tempest of my eyes.
Ah, me. For aught that I could ever read, could ever hear by tale or history, the course of true love never did run smooth, but either it was different in blood.
Oh, cross, too high to be enthralled to low.
Or else misgaffed in respect of years.
Oh, spite, too old to be engaged to young.
Or else it stood upon the choice of friends.
Oh, hell, to choose love by another's eyes.
Or if there were a symphony in choice, war, death, or sickness did lay siege to it, making it momentary as a sound, swift as a shadow, short as any dream, brief as the lightning in the colliad night, that in a spleen unfolds both heaven and earth, and ere a man hath power to say, behold, the jaws of darkness do devour it up. So quick bright things come to confusion.
We are kind of using the reading a little bit as a tryout to see if there is enough interest to fully stage it. And if that's the case, then we'll go on and start working on it as a full-length project.
There'll be two performances of the reading of the play tomorrow night, Saturday night at 7:30, and again on Sunday afternoon at 2:30 in Grace Episcopal Church on the corner of Brainerd Road and Belvoir Avenue. If you'd like more information, you can call Janice at 423-622-2882. For WUTC's Around and About, I'm Richard Wynnum.